Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Not only do I have a wonderful guest interview for you today, but you get to experience accountability at its finest because I call it out in the end of this episode, and it's probably going to make you laugh. So my guest, Lauren Tilden, and I are talking about perfectionism and how it shows up in marketing, which then led us to talking about accountability. And so by the end of the conversation, you're going to hear me say, like live on the call, okay, we're going to hold each other accountable for something in the next 5 days. I totally put Lauren on the spot. She was a great trooper in this. Like she went with it. And oh my gosh, we freaking did it. We did what we said we were going to do. So I'll share a wrap up at the end of this episode and tell you exactly what happened. But the spoiler alert is that it actually worked. So us holding each other accountable just through a simple conversation allowed us to do something that impacted a lot of different businesses, which is really exciting. So be sure to stay tuned till the end because I'm going to wrap up the story so that you can hear what happens at the end. But before I turn the mic over to Lauren and share this incredible conversation, I want to introduce you to Lauren so you know who she is. Lauren is a maker, a retail shop owner, a podcast host, and a marketing educator on a mission to help small business owners confidently marketed their business without getting overwhelmed. As you can imagine, we turned into BFF right on the call because we both love this so much. So of course, we talked a lot about marketing. She is also the host of Making Good, the podcast that helps small business owners do great marketing so they can make a bigger impact. She is the founder of Making Good Happen, the membership community for small business owners who want to do better and more consistent marketing. Oh my gosh, we just had so much in common. We had a blast on this episode, and Lauren actually interviewed me on her podcast as well. So be sure to check out my episode and all of her other episodes on her podcast, Making Good. So I told you that Lauren and I talk about accountability on this call, and it was so interesting because we were scheduled to talk about perfectionism, and it led us to talking about accountability, which is interesting to me because accountability has come up a lot with almost every single one of my students. So much so that I ended up creating a small group of a few people who had basically asked me to coach them just on accountability. Like, can you hold me accountable? So I've been working with a group since April and it's been amazing. And I'm going to open up another group in July. So I'm telling you this because if accountability is where you're feeling stuck, like you have big dreams and you've got things on the list and you just don't seem to be making them happen. And all throughout the conversation that you're going to hear Lauren and I talk about, if you're like, yeah, that's me. I need help with that. Well, my friend, I've got you covered. I'm going to be opening up a small group for accountability only coaching. It's where we're going to meet on a weekly basis. Like you can find all the details on my website. But the thing is I want you to think about that. If that is the type of support you need, this is a great opportunity. We're starting in July. It's a 3-month commitment. It's a very exciting time because I am seeing it live in action right now. So as I'm recording this, I am working with this group of students that I have right now Oh my gosh, they're making so much progress. It is so exciting to watch it happen. I love it. When we get to meet together every single week, it's like a party. I get so excited to see them and hear their progress, and then they get to ask for the support they need. It's fantastic. So if this is something you're interested in and this is all sounding great, be sure to go to amandamckinney.com/coaching to check out all the details and put your name on the list. But for now, let's hear from the amazing Lauren and talking about perfectionism and how we can navigate through it. Lauren, thank you so much for being here today. I am so pumped to talk to you about perfectionism. But before we dive into all that good stuff, can you tell everyone a little bit about you and how you help your clients?
Yes. Oh my gosh, Amanda, thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited to chat with you. I am the host of the podcast Making Good, which is all about helping small business owners do better marketing so they can make a bigger impact. And I always have kind of a hard time answering this like intro question because I, as you know, do a few different things. But to make it somewhat concise, I have a background as a marketing professional, marketing director. I left in 2017 to start a stationery business. And now I own a retail store, but through all of that, I've realized like a lot of the skills I learned in marketing have actually come in really, really handy as a small business owner. So I started my podcast, Making Good, in 2020. And now I also have a membership program where I work with folks in there to be more consistent with marketing and do more effective marketing, spend their time on the right things. So lots of different things is what I do, but I would say when it comes to what would be relevant to your listeners, it's really helping with marketing, small business marketing.
I love it. You and I could talk about marketing all day long.
All day.
And I love that we connected on that because I just love when I meet other people in the marketing space that are like, marketing doesn't have to suck. You can do it the way that feels right for you. And I think the more of us out there spreading that message, the better.
Yes, I know. We chatted because you were on my podcast a while ago, and I had the same impression after we had our conversation that just marketing is a pretty big industry and there's a lot of different ways to approach it. And so when you find someone who really has like that heart-led, generous and like, I don't know, ethical approach to marketing, it just feels really good to find people who have that same approach. So Agreed. Glad to be connected.
Oh my gosh, me too. It's so good because I think, and you and I can relate on this because we have people that come to our virtual doorstep and they're like, I hate marketing. Mm-hmm. I hate marketing. And it's like it breaks your heart because marketing really doesn't have to be so awful. But I think so many of us, including myself and probably you too, have had a bad experience with marketing. And so that seems to stick out. And it's like, actually, it doesn't have to suck. And I don't know about you, but I say this all the time, like marketing isn't only social media. And I think that that's what think about. When they think of marketing, I'm like, actually, did you talk to someone at the coffee shop this morning? That's marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime you talk about your business, anytime anyone has any interaction with your business, that's marketing. So it's everything from, yeah, it is social media, but it's also email. And like you say, like in-person stuff, it's like customer service, customer experience. It's A to B, start to finish from when someone first learns about your business, hears about it for the first time until they become a customer and hopefully a happy customer more than once for a long time. All of that's marketing. So yeah, it's definitely, I have the same, so many of the folks that I work with, they think they probably understand that social media does not equal marketing, but when it comes to what they actually do and spend their time on, they tend to almost exclusively spend it on social media, which is kind of putting your eggs all in one basket that you don't have a lot of control over. So there's a lot more thoughtful way to approach marketing that like also doesn't have you, I don't know, like on the emotional hamster wheel of social media.
Yes.
If that makes any sense. So yes, marketing is so many things. And I think the sorts of businesses that you and I both work with are people doing things that they're really excited about doing. And that's such a gift when it comes to marketing because you can just talk about what you're excited about and communicate, like, why do you do what you do? And why is it important? And how does it help people? Or what is it how does it look beautiful in their home, whatever. So I think, yeah, there's definitely ways to do marketing that are icky. We've all been marketed to in a way that does not feel good. I experience it all the time, but it doesn't have to be like that. So yeah.
I love that lens of we work with people that love what they do. They're excited about what they do. And when mm-hmm. we can share from a place of like, oh my gosh, did you know this? You could have mm-hmm. this thing or whatever. That is beautiful marketing. And yeah. I think we often get in our heads, I don't know about you, but me and the people I work with, it's like we get in our heads about the what words we're putting out in the social media post, in the email, in the whatever, which lends itself really well to what we're talking about today, which is perfectionism of I want to make those words perfect. I want to make that picture that I post on Instagram just perfect. And I think about a lot of your clients are product makers, very creative people that have products. Mm-hmm. And I think about, oh my gosh, I can't imagine the stress of like, I have to photograph this piece of art in the perfect way or it's going to mm-hmm. look terrible, you know? And so I think perfectionism creeps into marketing all the time. What do you think?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Sorry. Stop. You're going to hear, I gave this disclaimer already to Amanda, but for the listeners, you might hear a screeching child or a barking dog. No childcare today. Happy surprise. So
hey, we're all doing the best we can. Noise.
Speaking of perfectionism, I'm just going to talk, let this not be perfect, but hopefully you'll still find something valuable.
I love that so much that we can just weave this right on in. And, you know, for everyone listening, a lot of the times we edit these things out. We can edit things out mm-hmm. of a podcast episode, which is great. But I love that you just rolled with it of like, actually, we're just going to go with this.
I don't always, but struck me as a good example of exactly this, the topic. So yeah, I think marketing and perfectionism are very good friends for many of us. And I think, perfectionism for me, the biggest problem that it's created for me is that it stops me from taking action and it makes me procrastinate. So I feel like I don't know how to do something perfectly or I don't have the skills yet to do it perfectly. Therefore, I'm not going to do it until I can. But the problem with that is the only way that we get good at things is by doing them over and over again. So if you're waiting to be perfect until you can do something, you're just never going to do it. You're going to keep procrastinating forever. And I've done this in so many areas of my life where, you know, I didn't apply for the job because I didn't think I could do it perfectly, or I didn't try to put my work out there for a long time because I didn't think it was perfect yet. And the same is true with marketing. If you're waiting to, you know, show your face on your Instagram stories until you feel like you have the perfect stage presence, or if you're waiting to send your first marketing email until you feel like you're really good at email marketing, this is perfectionism. And it really is stopping you from seeing results. And I say that out of like so much experience, personal experience of like letting it hold me back. Even as someone who has I've been a professional marketer and I've still stopped myself from putting things out there, even though I know that I would see the results if I did publish or hit send or whatever it was. So I think it's anytime you're doing something that's out of your comfort zone, perfectionism can come into play. And for me, like, I know that one of the things we're going to talk about is how do you beat perfectionism? And I kind of laughed when I saw that because it's not, I mean, tell me, someone DM me if you figure this out. But for me, it's like, it's finding the willingness pretty much every day to put things out there that aren't perfect. It's not a one-time like, oh, we're done. Perfectionism is gone. It's a daily practice of like, it's okay to put things out there that aren't perfect. They can be valuable anyway. And honestly, if you're not putting it out there, you're kind of holding it back from someone who it could be helpful for. So long rambling response, but I think perfectionism and marketing are just like hand in hand because marketing is all about doing new things and new things are scary and we want to do them right. But when it, you know, you don't have that guarantee. So
Yes. To all of what you just said. It is so true. And the amount of times that I've stopped myself from doing something because it was like, I want to research the crap out of this thing before I do it and make sure it's fine-tuned and cross every T and dot every I and all of that. But if I look back at the things that have moved the needle in my business, none of them are when I waited until it was quote-unquote perfect. And mm-hmm. I have so many examples of this. So I remember the thing that's coming to my mind, which I feel like I've got to share now, is like the first few times, because I was really in my head, again, a marketer. I could market anything, maybe not anything, but in all of my professional jobs in the corporate world, I didn't run into perfectionism at all. I was like, here's the thing. My job depends on me getting this out in front of people. And I moved forward. As soon as everything shifted to I'm marketing myself as a service provider, everything went out the window of like the confidence that I felt as a marketer, like everything went out the window. So I remember connecting with a local person who was also running a business, and we would go to like a local coffee shop or park or someplace and take pictures of each other for social media content. We'd do it every so often. And I would have my Pinterest board of these are the pictures that I want to get today, all of this. And we were really like capturing all those pictures. And it was a fun experience. We did it for so long. And I learned so much. But there was one particular time that she was very smart and just took a bunch of pictures. Instead of like me getting into the chair and holding that coffee mug or whatever I was doing, she took pictures as I was doing the action. And then one day I was talking about something on social media and I used one of the pictures of me in between. I was making a silly face. It was clearly in between emotion of some sort. So it was really awkward. That got more engagement. It was so much more real. And from that time on, anytime I've ever gotten pictures, I tell the person, whether it's a professional photographer, my husband, a friend, whoever's taking the picture, I'm like, take pictures of me all the time. Mm-hmm. I want to have 1,000 pictures. I'll figure out which ones I want to use because it's the in-between.
Yeah.
Because that's what I realized as a business owner, as a coach, the in-between is the story.
Yeah.
And it's not perfect.
That's such an interesting example. I see behind you, actually, we're on Zoom, that you have Atomic Habits. So
yes.
I'm assuming you've read that.
So many times.
Yeah, so good. And actually great for perfectionism because mm-hmm. it'll really convince you the power of just like taking those small, steady actions imperfectly in and out every day. But there's an example in that book about a photography class and the instructor, I think this was some kind of study maybe, or maybe this is just a story of an instructor of a photography class who did this, but he split the group in half and half the people in the group, he graded them on one single image that they would submit at the end of the semester. They just had to do one image, the best they could. That's all they ever had to turn in. And the other half of the group had to take a photo, I think, every day, or they had to submit as many photos as they could. So it was basically this question of quality versus quantity. Who's going to create the better photo? The one who takes the one perfect image that they try all semester to get the exact right one, or the people who have been taking photos every single day and just like hopefully one of those photos is good. And I mean, it won't surprise you given our conversation that the best photos come from the group of people who just take a ton of photos. They're not trying to get it perfect. They're just doing the thing over and over again. So it doesn't surprise me to hear that, like, you know, the best image came from when you were just going over and over and over again versus like, okay, these are the 5 posed, like perfect, you know, independent things. And the same is true for email or social media posts or anything when it comes to marketing is it's kind of a volume game. And to some extent, like just keep trying it. Don't try to get each individual email or post or webinar, or whatever it is that you're doing. Don't try to get each one perfect, but know that after you put the reps in, like inevitably the quality level, the skill improves. And that's the thing that I think is so tough about perfectionism, is it kind of holds us, if we listen to perfectionism and we don't take action and we feel like it has to be perfect before we do anything, we prevent ourselves from getting to that point where, like, we do have that super high skill level and, like, mastery of whatever subject or topic it is. So my encouragement for everyone is really just to put yourself out there imperfectly and to look at it and be willing to say, you know what, this is not perfect, but it still can be useful or helpful and it's good practice. The one other thing I'll say is I think accountability is a super, super powerful tool for beating perfectionism. You mentioned, like, in your corporate jobs, like, not facing that perfectionism so much. And I would bet that some of that is just because you had a deadline and someone right. was waiting for it, you know? Maybe you wished it could be better, but you just, it was more important to you to, like, submit it on time than to keep fiddling, like, hoping maybe it could get better. So with me and the folks that I work with, accountability is such a huge component, because it's like, that kind of interrupts that perfectionism to an extent. It's like, yeah, you could keep working on your website for, like, four more months. Or you told someone that it was going to be published April 20th and just hit publish, you know, and therefore it's out into the world doing a lot more good than it could do if it was still a draft. So I think creating accountability for yourself where other people are expecting something from you is something that we have to build in really intentionally as small business owners who often work just with ourselves. But you can do it with friends and peers. You can do it with a coach of some kind. You can do it with even your audience. I like to talk a lot about how, like, my podcast comes out on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, my podcast comes out. I say this constantly so that I know people are expecting it on Tuesdays. And now sometimes if I'm slow on it, people will, like, DM me in the morning and be like, hey, I didn't see the podcast episode. I'm like, this is, like, the best accountability ever.
It is. It is. Consistency is huge. And I 100% agree with the accountability piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I bet you have people talk about these types of things with you and your business as well. As, you know, at the time of this recording, I believe I have 186 episodes out on the podcast, rough. Mm-hmm. I think it's about that. Thank you. And I don't know when this is going to go live, so it'll be more at that point. But here I am saying 186. I remember episode 1. I actually released 1, 2, 3, and 4 all at the same time. And I remember being so freaked out about it. I listened to those mm-hmm. episodes an unbelievable amount of times. I had other people listen to them. I mean, I edited them on my own. I mean, feel free to go back to episode 1 through 4 and hear the, I'm going to use air quotes here, lovely editing, because I was on my own at that point. Thank God I have an editor now. But I had to do it, you know, like, and I was mm-hmm. fiddling with it. And I remember being so freaked out. At this point, it's just, I just crank these things out. I mean, I do a lot of work ahead of time of preparing and finding guests and researching and all of that. It's not like I'm just willy-nilly, but it's so much easier. And I think, one, it's because it's a muscle at this point. Yeah. I think it's actually harder for me not to have a podcast episode at this point. Mm-hmm. And two, that accountability, I mean, last year I tried something where I created series and I had a week or two in between the series. That first week, I got more emails and messages about my podcast being gone. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, and so we're back to weekly. And, you know, but it's so funny that, like, I remember how hard it was at first. And now, you know, someone saying, like, that many episodes in. But I would say to that whoever is thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot, or oh, I wish I was there, or whatever, because I found myself doing the same thing. But you mm-hmm. can't get to 186 if you don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to your point, like, finding, I don't know, like, I love that example of taking a week off and having all these people coming for you.
It was awful.
I mean, awful, but also awesome. True. And I hope that, like, like it got you saying like, okay, not doing that again. And I bet your consistency is even stronger after that experience. And I would just say to the listener, even if you don't have a podcast, you can still build in this kind of like consistent schedule that kind of has your audience holding you accountable. Maybe it's an email that comes out once a week on a certain day and you say, hey, it's Friday morning, the day that you always get this email, you know, really build that in for yourself. Just as much for you as for them. It could be a blog post. It could be like you go live on Instagram or on a different social media platform. Like there's really get creative about how you use this concept. But if you tell people what to expect from you and you tell them frequently, they will expect it. And knowing that they expect it is going to help you be accountable and or is going to help you be consistent. For me, consistency is not a thing I can do without accountability. I wish that wasn't the case. It is. So if I want to do something consistently, I have to like build in as much accountability as I possibly can. So community members, my partner, like, you know, whatever it is, whatever makes sense, depending on the thing. It's like the more people that know about it and have some kind of stake in the game, the more likely I am to do it. So I just would encourage anyone who's listening and feeling like, you know, I'm just not a consistent person or I always drop the ball. I start things and then I never finish. It could just be that you're not setting yourself up for success in a way that it's going to work with you and the way that you work. Because I've been there. I've been the kind of person who felt like I started things and never finished anything. And the game changer for me has been finding ways to be accountable to other people, not just to myself. So
thank you for sharing that. Yeah, because I think a lot of people fall into that bucket. I would probably, like, I don't know the research, the stat behind this, but in my mind, the people who fall into the bucket of not being consistent, I feel like is higher than the people who fall into being consistent with something. And so I really appreciate that you shared that it was very difficult for you, but that you found a way because people need to hear that. And the other thing that I was thinking as you were talking is that I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's going to be someone at the other end of this listening and thinking, that's great for you two who have an audience that noticed, but I don't have an audience yet.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to say you are not off the hook, my dear friend. You are not, because I had zero people at one point and I had to figure out what do I want to be consistent with? Because had I started a podcast on day one of my business, no one would have known I was going to be consistent with it. And no one would have said like, Amanda, where's your podcast? But I had to create, I had to figure out that muscle early. For me, it was accountability for sure. But it was like through telling a friend who I call like biz bestie. So someone else who also runs a business and we could hold each other accountable for something, even when no one was reading. At that point, it was just a blog for me. And it was unbelievably difficult to be like, there are five people looking at my blog and three of them are me because it's my phone, my computer, and my iPad.
So relatable.
So what do you, what would you say to the person who's like, but I don't have that audience yet?
Yeah. Well, almost no one starts with an audience. And I mean, unless you're like a celebrity and have some other claim to fame and then you go into creating content, for the most part, you probably won't have an audience to start with. And people follow after they see something that is valuable to them. So it's like kind of a, it's not really actually a chicken and an egg type of thing. It's like the content actually does have to come first. And that's what creates the audience. And I'm with you. Like I had no audience of this kind when I started my podcast because I had sold products and I had sold, like I have a retail store. But I'd never taught marketing. So there's no one asking me to start the podcast, really. Like there, I'd talked and a lot of people asking me questions about things that I'd done, but you know, there was no built-in audience. So when I started, I mean, I love actually looking at the podcast growth statistics of listening because the first, like, I don't know, at least 6 or 9 months, there was like almost no one listening. But I, you know, if I hadn't kept going and like built that backlog and like trained that muscle, I wouldn't have gotten to where now there are a lot of people listening. So what I would say to the person is I mean, there's always, okay, I'm kind of contradicting myself, but there's always like someone listening also. And so I think, you know, maybe I was getting like 20 downloads an episode in the beginning, but like, that's 20 people who I right. knew I had told them it's coming out every Tuesday. And even for me, that was enough, like to say, like, I'm not letting these people down. I'm not going to like prove myself as like a flake because I told them Tuesday. So I'm going to do Tuesday. The other thing is like, there's so many ways to get people involved in what you're doing. Maybe you interview other people. So if you're interviewing guests and they share it with their network, that starts to help build your audience. But I like the concept that you referred to of like your biz bestie and kind of keeping each other accountable that way. I think you can go and find your own kind of accountability partner who's also a business owner, or you can join a group. I know you and I both have groups that probably community and accountability is a big piece of. And those, you know, if you have struggled to find your own community, those are great resources for, you know, committing publicly to people who care and, you know, want to see you succeed and want to cheer you on and probably also want to listen or read your blog or whatever it is. So joining groups, I think, is a great way to help yourself build that accountability and even help build the audience.
Absolutely.
Others can share for you. Yeah.
I love that. And I'm going to take it a little step further and feel free to disagree with me if you find this, that is not the case. For me personally, and I've witnessed this. Now, I work with service providers, so I don't know as much on the product side. I actually know very little about the product side. So on the service side, I work with different types of people who are offering services, obviously. And I can say this with confidence for myself and based on the majority of people that I work with. I like to use the phrase, when we pay attention. I would also add, when we pay, we actually have accountability. Mm-hmm. So if I am paying for something, or very specifically, if I notice that I am not taking action with something that I keep saying, I want to do this in my business, I know if I have not taken action with it on my own in a full quarter after saying, I want to do this, that means I have to pay for the accountability or I will not do it. Have you experienced this?
I know that's true for me. So yeah, I think, I don't know the stats, but that sounds very right. That, you know, if you have some like literal skin in the game, you're going to take things more seriously. I know, like, I'm a member of a mastermind that I pay a good amount for, and I pay so much attention to what's going on right? there and like making sure that I show up for things and doing what I said I was going to do, because I feel like otherwise I'm wasting my money, whereas I don't actually need it. You know, like I could do those, all those same things without it. But because I have invested that skin in the game, I'm like, you know what? Got to make this happen. Or I'm like really letting myself down in a big way. So I think these are all examples of like ways you can put a little bit of gentle pressure on yourself. I think sometimes we need that, you know? I didn't think I would. When I first started my business, I was like, it's going to be so great to work for myself, by myself. No one else is involved. And it is in a lot of ways, but it's also like things can take forever. And we let them because we're being perfectionists. A lot of the time it's really like, oh, it could be better. It could be better. I'm going to keep working on it. And I have found that I don't need the level of pressure that I had in corporate America, but I do need a little bit of like someone else caring or have someone else being involved in some way or having some skin in the game for myself. So I'm not encouraging, like, don't stress yourself out overly, but sometimes a little bit of pressure is really helpful depending on, you know, how you work. That maybe isn't true for everyone, but certainly is for me.
Same here. I mean, I have definitely recognized that. And I'm someone who is incredibly consistent, and I'm actually really good at holding myself accountable for something. Like, I have a gift of that. I've realized that's a gift. I didn't know it before. But through this experience of entrepreneurship, I'm like, oh, actually, I can actually break this down and I can break it down into a project plan. And I will, like, if it's on my task list, like, I'm doing it. I don't know. Amazing. Like, yeah. And so, but most people do not have that. However, right. even me, who is very, I don't want to say driven because that's not really the right word. It's like, even though I can hold myself to something like that, it's almost a detriment sometimes because it's like, I actually don't need to do that. But because it's on my task list, I feel like I have mm-hmm. to do it, sort of a thing. But even I struggle with this. And so my rule of thumb is what I just shared of, if I said I want to do this thing, I want to learn about Pinterest, I want to understand SEO, I want to pitch myself for podcast, I want to, it doesn't matter what it is, that's like, I want to do this thing. All those examples are literal examples of things that I said I wanted to do and have not done it until I paid for something. So in those examples, if I made it a full quarter and I did my next quarterly check-in and I had not touched it in the way that I said I was going to do it, that's when I know I have to hire someone, join a group, find a coach, hire someone to do it for me since I'm not doing it, these types of things. Do you have a barometer for yourself like that? Like how you decide when do you need to find yeah. some accountability?
I mean, I basically, so I would say if you're the kind of person who doesn't always or has would identify as being having consistency being something you struggle with, and again, raising my hand as this is me, I would build it in for absolutely everything. Maybe you don't have to pay for every type of accountability, but if there's something that you want to do that really matters to you, that is going to move you toward your goals, I would not wait to let yourself down before you build in accountability. I would build it in from the start. And it's something you can double up on too. You don't have to have just one kind of accountability. So for me, it's like, maybe I talk about it with my audience. And also I've built it in with like a member of my team now who like needs stuff from me. And so I don't want to let her down and like waste her time. The other thing I would say is, I love all the examples of you gave of ways to pay. I loved that I didn't hear you say find a course to take, because I think one thing that can happen when we're getting perfectionistic and we're starting to procrastinate is you feel like, oh, there's, I just need to learn more. Mm-hmm. Like, let me research more, let me learn more, and then I'll do the thing. Whereas that can often just be a way of like slowing things down. So I would say that is not typically a very effective way of creating accountability for yourself to buy information, or even if you're not buying it. What I think you really need is someone who is there in some capacity to like help hold you accountable. So that I did want to point that out because I was waiting for you to say course and you didn't. And I was like, yes, she gets it.
That's awesome. You know, I didn't even think about it as I was rattling off all those examples, but you're totally right. And I'm a big fan of courses to help us learn about totally. Things, but courses are not for accountability. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. And so people who can do a DIY course aren't struggling with the accountability. You're right. The person, I'm very much someone who can take a course, because what happens immediately, because I've put money down, right? I pay for the mm-hmm. course, immediately it's on my calendar. I will go through module one on mm-hmm. April 22nd. Like I, as soon as I buy a course, you could ask me, when are you going to do it? And I would have it mapped out. Because that's just how I do that. And do you
implement right away too?
I'm going back and forth in my head. Here's what I would say. I implement when I am going through it. So the answer is yes. It may not be right away. And the reason I say that is because sometimes someone will offer a course at a specific time and I can't do it. Like it just doesn't align with my schedule or my goal. A great example of this is like Black Friday, when someone runs a special on their course and I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and buy that, but I'm probably going to do it in January, you know, because I can't do it right now. But what I do is I put it on the calendar when I can actually implement. Yeah. A great example of this was learning about Pinterest. So Kate All, I think you know Kate All. Did you have her mm-hmm. on your podcast too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Kate Aull is one of my favorite people on the online space. And I knew I wanted to learn about Pinterest from her. So I, specifically Pinterest ads. And so I've been in her membership for Pinterest ads now. This is the second year. And the cool part is that it is a membership. So you can go in and you can ask questions. And so anytime, since I've paid for the year, right, I just know, okay, I'm going to be running these ads during these specific times. So I have to back into that. I know I have to go watch these specific workshops and take the action right away. But what I'm learning through sharing all of this is every time I do something, like I set a goal, I buy the course, mm-hmm. I sign up for the program, I am part of a coaching program or mastermind or whatever, it goes on the freaking calendar. There is never a choice of like, Amanda's going to buy this thing and it's just going to sit on the digital shelf. I did that early on in my business. That was a terrible idea. So I refuse to buy things that I can't actually put on the calendar.
I love that so much. I was noticing that. You were like, I put it on the calendar. I'm like, okay, noted. That's a great tip for me. Sometimes putting it on the calendar isn't quite enough. Like I'll see it on my calendar and then in the moment I'm like, well, there's something that feels more urgent right now. So like, I don't really need to do that thing. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest for anyone who resonates with that is like what I call working together, like find someone else who also needs to do something that they've been procrastinating on and like just get on Zoom or get in a chat room and say like, hey, what are you working on for the next 90 minutes and work together so that like, you've committed to it. You know, someone else is expecting to hear you report back in 90 minutes. Like, how did you do? Did you get through the modules? Or like, did you send the marketing email?
I love that.
So shocking how easy it is to create some of this like little pressure for yourself. But yeah, when someone is there alongside you, like you'll do it more likely than if I'm just by myself and I didn't tell anyone, I'm like, well, there's other thing. Like I got some urgent email or like I need to do the dishes, like whatever. There's so many things that can come up. But if I've told someone else, then I'm sticking with it. So
I love that. I've done that so many times with people, both in like I've paid for that type of an opportunity of co-working time. Mm-hmm. Or coaching calls, that sort of thing. I've paid for those types of things. I've also just connected with people that I know, my biz besties. I'm like, hey, I really need to get something done. Do you have time for a Zoom call where we sit silently for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is? There were several times where I bought a course with someone else. So we both purchased the course. We had talked about it beforehand. I said, hey, I want to do this thing. You've said you want to do this thing. There's a course I think would be perfect. We can go through it together. That was also
I love a great that. Option. That's such a fun idea. I've never thought about doing that.
It's been really fun to do that. So, because again, I think I am a course creator. I have created several courses. And to be the course creator and to see the stats on the back end is heartbreaking of who actually finishes the course. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what changed the game for me when it came to me buying things. Once I was on the other side of the creator part, I was like, I don't want to do that to someone else. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who didn't mm-hmm. finish the course or didn't watch.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's interesting. I've never done a straight course, but I'm making one. So I have a membership, but I've never done just a standalone course. And I'm thinking a lot about that because I know my own behavior. I know a lot of folks just like, you know, it's a thing. People buy courses, they don't do them. Many people don't even start them. So I'm thinking really hard about like, how can I like help people finish it? I don't know. How can I? But ultimately, a course format is generally like a self-study thing. And yeah, it is kind of on the buyer, I guess, to do it. So I love that approach of like, you want to like not be that person. You want to buy a course and then finish it like as much for you maybe as for like mm-hmm. the person who made the course and like knows it's valuable.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm just learning how I'm holding myself accountable through this conversation, which is so fascinating. Another thing that I really enjoy, again, because I I have created courses. I create a ton of content just like you. And you and I both know what it feels like to hear, thank you for teaching me this thing. This is what I did with it. Like it is unbelievable to have that comment, that email come your way, that review of whatever, that testimonial that says, I took action with what you said and it worked. I want to be that person for that course creator.
I love that so much. It's never occurred to me to do that. So thank you for saying that. It's also like, I don't write reviews for podcasts very often. I'm sorry to even say this, but I know how much it means when someone does it for me. So I'm just reminding myself as I'm listening to you, like there are a bunch of podcasts that I listen to religiously that it would be so easy for me to take 30 seconds and be like, I learned so much from this. Like it's changed this for me. Or even just like, if I don't have time for that, like one sentence is, it actually matters.
And yes.
Yeah. So thank you for saying that, because that reminds me that there are so many easy ways to like tell someone they've made an impact on you, even through their free content. And it's just a matter of like, you know, like you say, put it in your calendar, put 15 minutes in your calendar to go review all your favorite podcasts. I think that would be like such an act of kindness to do, and karma, I guess, if you believe in that. So yes. If you're listening to Amanda's podcast and you've gotten something from it, you should totally review it, because I've listened to a bunch of her episodes and I'm like, wow, this is like lots of value coming straight at you.
So. Same to you and your amazing podcast. And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to hold each other accountable for this. So we're going to do this. So we're recording this. After this recording, by the end of this week, let's do this for each other. By the end of this week, let's email each other and tell each other how many podcasts. It's not a who can win. It's
everything is a who can win.
So how many podcasts / courses / YouTube, whatever it is, like it doesn't matter. All we're doing in the next 5 days, because we're recording this on a Monday, on Friday we're going to send each other an email that says, here's how many reviews I shared. Obsessed. I'm going to put it in the podcast. So like, because now here's the
accountability.
Thing. It's accountability because we're both saying it, and I'm putting a deadline on it because I want to include the result in the outro of the podcast. Yes. So we're going to have to do it because I'll probably want to record it in the next week.
I'm doing it. I've written it down on my envelope / to-do list. I love that. Yeah, such a perfect example of like how accountability can actually make you do things that you want to do but may not have done otherwise. Mm-hmm. But like involve someone else, have them know your deadline. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Love it.
And like tying this all in, it's so interesting because I'm thinking about the words that we've talked about. We've talked about being consistent and how perfectionism stops us from being consistent and how accountability can help with all of this. And we've probably never given the thought of like, I'm not leaving a podcast review because I'm worried about it being the perfect words. But I bet there's an element in there.
1,000%. I think of accountability, or sorry, I think of perfectionism when I'm really thinking about it, it affects absolutely everything. There's friends that I like fell out of touch with that I haven't like gotten back in touch with because I like don't have the exact right thing to say, or there's emails in my inbox that I'm not responding to because I want to like say exactly the right thing. And as a result, I just haven't said anything and the person is waiting for me. And so I think if you really think about like, where are the places in your life that you're wanting to get it just right, and as a result, you're not doing anything, that's perfectionism. And so, yeah, such a great like tie this all in a bow moment of like, for sure, that's why I'm not leaving reviews, because like it actually, like that podcast has meant so much to me that I want to do it right. And as a result, I haven't done it. But what I would say to myself and anyone who's with me here is like, you can leave a second one, you know?
Perfect.
Get it imperfect now. Just if it's one sentence, that's so much better than nothing. And if you come up with the perfect version later, like leave a second review. But it's so much more important to just put something out there.
Yes. Because the person on the other side is so freaking grateful for mm-hmm. any words. Because totally. Everyone listening is not putting out content because they're worried about it being bad or not perfect. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you got an email that said, thank you for sharing that Instagram post. It made me smile. That's it. That would be lovely.
Worth it. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
This is so great.
It's actually my most viewed Instagram reel. I'm like, I don't say views are everything, but it's a story about perfectionism and about how for my membership, people who do their accountability tasks, I send a postcard in the mail each month. And one of the designs, it's a quote about perfectionism. And I had put a typo in it. Like when I was designing it, there's a typo in it, got it printed, paid for it to be printed. And I saw it, actually didn't notice first. And then someone pointed it out to me. And so I had like, you know, 50 or 100 of this postcard left. And I was like, I can like trash this and waste it and like do something new. Or I can just decide to send it anyway, knowing that it's imperfect, knowing there's literally a typo right on the front of it. And, you know, so like on the quote is Jack Canfield, you don't have to get it perfect. You just have to get it going. And one of the words was a typo. And so I crossed out, like on each of them manually, crossed out the word. Like I think it said it instead of two. So I crossed it out, like in calligraphy, wrote the word that it was supposed to be. And I got so many people messaging me being like, I love, this is my favorite postcard. I've hung up on my wall. It's like such a good reminder. And I'm like, people loved the postcard. Hopefully it made an impact on them. I heard from a bunch of people it did. And then telling this story about perfectionism obviously resonated really widely with people. So yeah, it's something so many of us experience. And there's so much beauty on the other side of like just being willing to put things out into the world and do things imperfectly. It's just been amazing to me. So I hope that this conversation is giving people just a little bit of like a nudge to do that thing that they haven't felt ready to do, or, you know, they've been procrastinating because they don't feel ready or whatever. Just like put it out there, keep doing it. You'll get better and better. Something is so much better than nothing. And like, just know you don't have to, you're allowed to feel that discomfort of perfectionist, like that instinct to be perfectionist that can still be there, and you can still let it be there and move forward anyway and put things out there anyway. So
I love that. That is a fantastic story about the postcard.
Yeah.
And I love that you went with it, because otherwise you would have probably had this moment. We would have this conversation and you would have thought, I had a perfect story, except I reprinted that dang postcard and now I can't tell that story, but you didn't. You went with it and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that everyone can resonate with, of like, just go for it, do it. You know, I shared something, I can't remember where, I can never remember where I share all this content of, you know, the point isn't not to be scared. The point is to do it anyway. When it comes to our business, I realize there's things in our life we don't have to do because we are legit scared, but it's a legit fear when we have it in our entrepreneurship journey. But chances are posting that Instagram reel, you're not going to die from posting an Instagram reel. Yeah. Like the chances are real slim of that happening. And so we have to tell our body, I'm excited, because fear and excitement show up in the exact same way. So this idea of like, I'm excited to share this thing and kind of like pushing yourself through it. And it's being courageous. It's having the courage to do the thing, knowing that it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to get better every time. And it does get easier.
Yeah.
Every time too.
I love that you said that. I think we don't talk enough about how marketing and really anything in your business requires a lot of courage. It requires you like making something or caring about something or feeling like you have a skill or whatever to offer, putting it out there and just like allowing other people to react to it. That is like
terrifying.
It's terrifying. And yeah, I commend all of us for like being willing to do it day after day. It does get easier with practice, but it does require a ton of courage. And so I think that's such an important element to talk about that. Yeah. If you don't feel any fear or any hesitation, like you might not be pushing yourself. And again, like push yourself in safe ways. Like we're both on the same page about this, but like, if it's a matter of like just getting a little bit outside of your comfort zone, because something exciting might be able to happen as a result, like if you're never feeling that tension, you might have room to push yourself a little bit more and like see bigger results as a result. So yeah, love that you said that, because I think about that all the time. Like it requires a lot of courage, a lot of bravery to put yourself out there. And so, I admire everyone who does it.
Same here. Well, I know everyone is going to want to run to the interwebs to find more about you. So where can they go to?
Yes. Okay. I'll give you a couple of ways. So first would be my podcast, Making Good. It's about using marketing as a way to make a bigger impact on the world. And we talk a lot about doing good. We talk a lot about different marketing strategies. I interview awesome folks like Amanda on there. So definitely check out Making Good wherever you listen to podcasts, or makinggoodpodcast.com. If you struggle with what to say in your marketing, I have an awesome free download that you can check out. It's 100 content prompts to help you just get started and get ideas for Instagram, email, whatever. But like when it comes to content, a big challenge that a lot of my audience has is they don't know what to say. So if that's something you struggle with, you can get that at makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. 100 prompts. And then I also actually, this is like not business related, but if anyone is like very excited about the idea of perfectionism, I have a Substack that I just recently started that is not about business, but it's just about like how perfectionism shows up. And it's called The Imperfectionist. And
you can
check that out at laurentilden.substack.com.
Oh, I'm excited to check that out. I love that you're doing this, because you have a lot of great things to say about this.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've loved this conversation. Thank you for having me on here.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, as a final parting thought, I just encourage people to put it out there. You will never regret putting it out there.
I love that. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Isn't she great? Isn't she wonderful? I just had so much fun with her, and I bet you were smiling as we were just laughing and having such a good time on that conversation. So I told you I would tell you about how we held each other accountable. So you heard us talk about leaving podcast reviews, which on that note, if you have left me a podcast review, thank you, thank you, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. If you haven't, please take the moment. I swear I read them. It means the freaking world to me. And you can get a gift as well. So if you screenshot your podcast review, send it to support@amandamckinney.com. We will send you a free gift as a special thank you, because I know it takes time and energy to do this. So anyways, Lauren and I were like, we don't do this. We listen to a ton of podcasts. As podcast hosts, we know the impact it can make. Why don't we do this? And so I was like, okay, we're just going to do this on the spot here and hold each other accountable. So we recorded the podcast interview on Monday, and I said, by Friday, we need to email each other. And so we talked about it a little bit after we stopped recording, and she was like, how many are you going to do? And I said, you know, at least 10. I'm going to do at least 10. I set a goal for everything pretty much that I do, because it helps me know, like, did I hit the target, right? And in my mind, I was like, I hope I do more than 10. But just so you know, I ended up doing exactly 10, because that's what I said I wanted to do. So I'm telling you this because had I wanted to do more than 10, I should have said, I'll do more than 10, I'll do 15, I'll do 20. But the point is, I was like, I'm going to do at least 10 reviews, and I'll email you by Friday. So I email Lauren bright and early, no surprise there, on Friday. So I said, Lauren, here are the 10 podcasts that I left reviews for. And I sent her my list. And the email that I got back was so great. So I'm going to read it to you, but I wish you could, like, you'll have to go to the show notes and see it. But it's all caps, Amanda, with exclamation marks. This is the power of accountability. I got this in my inbox and immediately went on a flurry of review writing. Isn't that fantastic? It just shows you the freaking power of accountability. Like, it's amazing. Like, I sent the email, she hadn't done it yet, and she did it right then. I was so impressed. So she sent me her list. So we have a list of 20 podcasts that I put in the show notes for this episode. So go to amandamckinney.com/podcast and you'll be able to navigate to this specific episode with Lauren and you'll be able to see the list of 20 because it's a pretty amazing list of podcasts. Like, I don't know if you're looking for more podcasts to listen to. We've got a pretty amazing list of podcasts here. So we have a list of 20, like we impacted 20 businesses in a matter of minutes, which is huge when you think about it, because it took me probably 15 or 20 minutes, like at most 30 minutes to write these 10 reviews. Like I didn't time the start to finish of this. I was doing a few other tasks at the exact same time, so I don't have the exact amount of time that it took me, but I would say for both of us, it took us less than 30 minutes each. It was probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and we impacted 20 businesses. That's incredible. Like, if we can just take the minute or two to write a review every now and then, that's huge. So anyways, accountability is remarkable. And just a reminder, if accountability is something that you're looking for, please be sure to go check out the special offer that I'm going to host in July. So from July to September, I'm going to host a small group of accountability coaching. So I'm currently running a group right now and it's freaking amazing. These amazing business owners are making so much progress that I get excited every single week to talk to them and hear what's going on. And it is super duper fun. So if accountability is something that you're like, yes, I have these goals and I really want to hit them, but I am not taking action. Let's just be honest with yourself, right? If you're not taking action, accountability is it. Check it out. It's at amandamckinney.com/coaching and you'll see all the details there. But your next step, whether it's accountability coaching or not, I want to leave you with the words from Lauren. And she said this, I encourage people to put it out there. You will never regret putting it out there. Now, of course, there's going to be things we do in our life that we regret because we might do something stupid. You know, but when it comes to trying new things in our business, most of the time we are falling into the trap of perfectionism and we are worried about it being perfect. We are worried about what so-and-so is going to think about it. We are worried about so many things. The chances are all you need to do is put it out there because you're probably, like, very slim chances here, going to regret what you did because what you're probably doing is you have some sort of tip that you are just sitting on right now that could help someone right now, but you're worried that you're going to spell something wrong or the image isn't going to be perfect or the words aren't going to be perfect, but someone is waiting. Someone is waiting for you to help them. They need what you have. They don't need it to be perfect. They need it to be helpful. And so please listen to Lauren and say, just put it out there. I know it's easier said than done, but I really want to leave you with that today because this can stop you. Perfectionism can stop you. Procrastination can stop you. But it's time. It's time, my friend. You have a gift that people need and they are waiting. And so I want you to just put it out there. So I want you to move forward, take action. And until next time, give yourself permission to do things imperfectly and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.